Hi, everybody. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve, and I'll be your host these next 2 days as we talk about the global trash problem. Our article today tells us that it's reaching crisis level. Now, in the studio with me to help discuss this lesson is Luke. Welcome, Luke.
Hi, Steve.
Luke, I feel like you have some things to say about trash.
Oh, well, it's...
You produce trash, right?
I do.
Then you know something about it.
It's very messy.
Yeah, yeah. Also with us is Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Luke.
Linda sometimes takes out the trash. Right, Linda?
Yes, that's something that we have to do. But I'll just warn you that I might get on my soapbox about this topic because I feel very strongly about waste.
Okay. Do you separate your trash?
I do. But here in Taipei, we have to do that. That's a regulation.
Okay. Mm. And does that mean that you wouldn't do it if you didn't live here in Taipei?
Well,
or does it mean that you did that before you came to Taipei?
I mean, I would always recycle or try to produce as little trash as I could.
Mm.
But the last time I was in the States, I was sort of appalled that we just throw everything together. We don't separate our trash. And like here, you know, you have to remove the food trash and, you know, dispose of it separately from the regular trash.
Yeah.
But in the States, everything is all together and you don't, yeah, it just seems like a big mess.
You raise an interesting point. First, I should say that this article is from the Los Angeles Times, so it's very American-centric, okay? We're going to learn some things. This is focused on an audience that lives in America, so we need to keep that in mind. And another thing I want to mention, based on what you said, Linda, is that having lived here in Asia for many years and then going back to America, one of the things I had a problem with, probably I could call it reverse culture shock, was how Americans are such consumers. They're such a consumerist society, and that we use things once and we throw them away. It's very easy for Americans to toss things in the garbage, things that could be used again or even fixed. Like, let's say a broken toaster, you know, something's mm-hmm. broken. The first thing we think of as Americans is just toss it away.
And get a new one.
And get a new one, right. Mm-hmm. And then that toaster goes into the landfill, just a piece of garbage, when actually it could just require just a little tweak or something fixed, and mm-hmm. it's as good as new, you know. And that was probably something that weighed me down quite a bit mm-hmm. when I went back to America for the first time. I was like, wow. We really throw a lot of stuff away, and we produce a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
I remember going to the store and looking at a pocket knife, like a Swiss Army knife. And you go to the store, and a Swiss Army knife is quite small, right? It's probably just a little bigger than your thumb. But it was packaged in this huge plastic package, like as yeah. big as, you know, 1 foot by 18 inches, hard plastic. I guess to keep people from stealing them
right.
out of the store. But that's a lot of plastic.
Yeah.
You just rip the thing open and then you toss all of that plastic away.
Yeah.
It seems very wasteful.
Waste. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think we're more sensitive to it when we go back because we've been in, you know, Asia and where people reuse things more, try to fix things before throwing them away. But I think I've always been sensitive to this, even when I was living in the States and growing up there.
What was it that made you sensitive to this? Because that's very unusual, having grown up in North America, to have that feeling, because most people don't.
Right, right. I mean, and it's part of our culture, the American culture. Everything is disposable, you know, use it once, or it's all about convenience.
Mm.
Maybe it's because of my family. Although we're not very Asian or Chinese, I think we have that Asian quality in that we try to conserve, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially if you, like my parents were immigrants, so you're more aware of how much you use or how much things cost, and so you're more conservative with things and trying to save.
Okay, yeah. What about you, Luke? Have you had this mindset Or do you have this mindset now?
Well, because I was born and raised in California, Southern California, I suppose my family kind of bought into a lifestyle of convenience. So we were not too conscious of recycling or, practicing just the dividing up our different trashes, the recyclables, the general waste, and the food waste.
Right.
My eyes were not opened until I came here to Taiwan, because, like Linda mentioned earlier, it is something that's regulated here in Taiwan.
I certainly grew in my understanding of trash when I moved here to Asia as well, and it changed me. I have a different mindset now. I try to produce less trash, and I try to separate more and recycle more. For example, if you're going out to a restaurant for takeout and they put some chopsticks in the bag for your food and you're taking it home, don't take the chopsticks because you've got some at home already and you're just going to throw those away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So little things like that that you're aware of that can help the environment and help produce less waste, I'm more and more mindful of those things.
Right. And another factor is that we are more responsible for our trash. In the U.S., there's a trash collection that comes maybe twice a week. You just put it outside and somebody will get it. But here, for a lot of people, they have to wait for the garbage truck to come. And it can be really inconvenient. So you think more about, okay, how much trash am I producing? Because I'm going to have to haul that trash down and wait for the garbage truck to come for me to dispose of it.
That's right. And we'll talk more about that next time, tomorrow actually, what it's like to take trash out here in Asia and in Taiwan. Let's get into today's lesson, though, on page 32. Friends, if you have your magazines, please open them up and let's read about the global trash problem reaches crisis level.
Global trash problem reaches crisis level. Solutions are discussed to address the increasing pile of global waste. One of the most daunting issues facing the world is the mounting waste problem, which impairs public health, pollutes the environment, and threatens to drown some poor countries in toxicity. More than half the world's population does not have access to regular trash collection. A grim statistic, given the amount of garbage produced globally. Some experts say the globe's trash troubles are at a crisis level. Here is a look at the problem and some possible solutions. Question: what is the scope of the waste problem? Answer: each year, nations generate 1.3 billion tons of waste. That's expected to soar to 4 billion tons by 2100, according to Ede Ijez Vasquez, Senior Director for the World Bank's Social, Urban, Rural, and Resilience Global Practice.
Okay, talking about the world's trash problem, this is something that comes up every so often, and thankfully, I've heard reports about this many, many times over the years, and usually it's scary. They'll say, oh, we will be inundated with trash by 2017, And certainly it is a problem, and it should be in the forefront of our mind about how we take care of this, but let's see how the author talks about this being a crisis. There are solutions, and there's always solutions. If there's a problem, we are forced as humans to find solutions to the problems, right? Otherwise, we would be overwhelmed with the trash. Let's see how our author talks about it. Now, one of the most daunting issues facing the world is the waste problem. Daunting. Let's talk about this word, our first word of the day. Luke, what is a daunting problem?
Well, a daunting problem, according to our vocabulary focus, it's making you feel slightly frightened or worried about your ability to achieve something.
Yeah, and again, this is something that we've been afraid of for many, many years. It's always before us, a daunting issue, the waste. And it does three things. What does it do? What's one thing it does, Linda?
Well, it impairs public health, for one.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, impairs public health?
Well, if something is impairing you, it is affecting you negatively.
Mm-hmm.
So this waste problem is hurting public health. And it also pollutes the environment.
Okay.
And threatens to drown some poor countries in toxicity.
Okay, drown. Usually we see this word in relation to water, but here it's used with trash. There's so much trash. It's like a lake or an ocean of trash. You can drown in it. And toxicity is a big word, Luke. What does that mean?
Well, toxicity, it's referring to, the environment or the air just being toxic, being
okay.
Hazardous.
Sure. Poisonous, maybe?
Poisonous.
Right?
Yes.
So the poorer countries, yes, the countries that don't have the resources to take care of their trash problems, like some of the richer countries, are more in danger of health problems and being overwhelmed by toxicity in the air and in the ground. Now, more than half the world's population does not have access to trash collection, and it's a grim statistic, given the amount of garbage produced globally. A grim statistic. Linda, what kind of statistic is that?
Well, that would be a statistic that is very bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It's depressing. It's sad. It's something that's problematic.
Right, something very negative.
Mm.
And I have experience in living in a country in which there was no trash collection. I've mentioned before in other radio programs that I lived in Africa, in the country of Namibia, for a while as a volunteer. And where I was, I mean, there was no running water, no electricity, and also no trash collection. So whatever trash you produced, you had to get rid of it somehow on your own. And that made me very aware of how much waste I produced. So food wouldn't really go to waste because there are always chickens or animals to eat the food. But other things that weren't edible, you had to burn or find a way to get rid of it.
Okay. Oftentimes people would burn their trash or bury it. Mm-hmm. Is another way people would get rid of it. Now, if you burn it, then you're polluting the air.
Right.
Right? If you bury it, you're polluting the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough, tough problem. Let's go to our first question. What is the scope of the waste problem? Our author asks this question. What is the scope of this problem? What is the dimension? Is it really big? Is it small? What's the size of the waste problem? And the answer, Luke, what is kind of a summary of the answer?
Well, the problem is quite big because each year nations generate 1.3 billion tons of waste.
Okay, we have no idea how much that is. You can just give us a large number, and I don't know what a ton of waste looks like. Do you?
Well, not exactly.
Okay, but it's a lot. We know it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's expected to grow, right, Linda?
Exactly. By 2100, it's expected to grow to 4 billion tons. And yeah, we don't have a real idea of, you know, how big, you know, these numbers are, but it's really astounding how
right.
much waste we produce.
And I think the fact of this paragraph is that it's growing in large proportion each year. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's not getting smaller. People are aware of recycling and have been aware of recycling for many decades now and reusing things. There's Earth Day in America that's over 40 years old now. And we're still producing massive amounts of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
We would hope that number goes down, but it's not. It's growing and growing. Okay, let's take a look at question number 2 on line 13.
Question. Why are many Americans oblivious to being serial waste generators? Answer. Because we're not seeing it, we think it's not a problem, said Mark Dancy, president of Waste Zero, one of the nation's largest waste reduction companies. Unlike most utilities, such as gas, water, and electricity, that are charged depending on how much is used, it works differently for waste. Because most cities and towns charge a flat fee for trash services, or include it within the property tax, most Americans pay little attention to the amount of waste they are discarding, he said. By taking our waste away from us so efficiently, it makes us more inclined to dispose more, said Joshua Reno, an assistant professor of anthropology at Binghamton University, who studies trash.
Okay, as we discussed earlier in the lesson today, we agreed that Americans are unaware, many are unaware, of the problem of all the trash that they create each year. Why are Americans so oblivious? And that word means they're just unaware, they're not conscious of it, especially what's happening around them, the waste that is created. And they are called serial waste generators, and that kind of means that they just keep doing it. It's something that happens time and time again, one after another. They just bring their trash out to the curb once or twice a week, and then they forget about it. Why are they so oblivious? What is the answer there, Luke? What does the author say?
Well, the problem is that many Americans are not seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
They throw stuff away, and I guess it's like the whole convenience thing. They just throw it in a bag, all in one, and then they take it out in the bin, and you know it's taken care of for them.
Yeah, yeah. I remember growing up. I'm not sure if this is true still. Taking the garbage out, and sometimes we take one bucket out, one can of garbage out. Sometimes we take two, and sometimes there'd be a little more. Sometimes 2.5 or 3 cans, it would all be taken. If you had 1 or 3, it didn't matter how much you brought it. It would just be gone the next morning.
Right. It magically disappears.
Yeah.
You know?
The garbage fairies would come and take it away.
Yeah. Basically, it's like out of sight, out of mind. You know? You don't see the problem, so you're not going to think about it. You know, the trash gets taken away, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Good point. Out of sight, out of mind. I think that's a great way to describe this situation. Other utilities like gas, water, and electricity are charged depending on how much is used, but not for waste. As I said, you could take one trash can out or three, and it would still be the same price.
Right. And that there, it would make a big difference. If you were charged for how many cans of trash that you put out, then people would be more aware, you know, be more conscious of how much trash they produce. But
yep.
Since they don't have to, then, yeah, you just don't think about it.
Right. The public is charged a flat fee often, and that means it's one fee straight across the board, no matter how much garbage you produce, no matter how much money you make, it's the same fee. So that's a flat fee. And it's often included within the property tax. So when you pay your taxes every year, a portion of that tax goes to garbage collection. So, again, it's something you rarely think about.
Mm-hmm.
How much money am I spending even for the garbage collection? People don't even know.
That's right. It's a flat fee, and it doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
When people pay their bills, it's easy to overlook.
So most Americans don't even pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
They just bring out their garbage, and that's the last they think of it. But by taking our waste away so efficiently, it makes people inclined to dispose more. Hey, if I can just put a little out, why can't I get rid of this too? And I'll throw that away too, and no difference, no big deal.
Right. I think the statement is so true. And it not only makes us more inclined to dispose more, but it makes us more inclined to buy more. So because we throw out what we don't want, or if it's old, we throw it out, we can just get new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep, exactly. Exactly. And this is said by someone who studies anthropology and teaches anthropology. He's a professor. And let's take a look at that word anthropology for a second. Linda, help us out with this.
Well, anthropology is the study of human origins, cultures, and societies. So studying man.
Mm-hmm. And man has produced garbage since the beginning of time. So that's part of anthropology for sure.
Yep.
Let's take a look now at question number 3 on line 24.
Question. What are the threats and ramifications of the global trash problem? Answer. The threat of waste to the environment, health, and safety is huge, and so are the financial and social ramifications, waste experts say. Pollution runs into rivers and seeps into groundwater. Flooding is caused by garbage clogging drains. And the atmosphere can be poisoned by the toxic discharge from trash.
Okay, if you've just joined us, we're trying to get a handle on the global trash problem, and the author takes us through some questions where we can understand the problems, the causes, and maybe some of the solutions to the increasing pile of global waste that we produce each year. What are the threats or the consequences? Our author uses the word ramifications. It's a big word. It's another way to say consequences or possible results of an action. What are the possible threats and consequences of the global trash problem? And what is the answer, Luke?
Well, we read here that the pollution runs into rivers and seeps into groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
And it also causes flooding by garbage clogging the drains.
Okay, so these are serious problems and serious ramifications. If there is garbage on the street or garbage that's not collected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it affects our environment, as we said earlier, our health, and our safety. So these are three things that we need to be concerned about when we're talking about the growing garbage problem. What other things should we consider there on line 26, Linda?
Well, all of these effects that it has on the environment, our health, and our safety, those problems become financial and social problems as well. So they have these possible outcomes.
That's right. So we're going to start to feel it in our pocketbook, perhaps, right? If we really need to solve this problem, we're going to have to dig in and lay some money out, and that's going to hurt some people, and they're going to have to be aware that money is going to be spent, needed to be spent for this.
Right. Like if you get sick because of the pollution, yeah, you're going to need money to get better, to be hospitalized. Cleaning up the environment, that takes a lot of money.
Good point. And there on the right side of page 33, we see the sidebar where it says cities in developing countries spend 20 to 50% of their budgets dealing with trash. That is a lot of money, especially for nations that are poor, and the author says cash-strapped. They have very little money in their budget to take care of the necessities, much less taking care of the garbage problem. So this is a huge, huge burden, not just on developed countries, but on the developing countries. Linda?
Exactly. And we see here this statistic for the U.S. that about $200 billion are spent every year on waste management, on disposing of our trash and taking care of our trash. And another point I wanted to make is that a lot of developed countries, they end up sending their trash to developing countries.
Yeah, absolutely. We're thinking of like used computers, right? Sometimes we'll send all that stuff, or developed countries will send it to places like Bangladesh or India, and they'll try to extract some valuable metals from the computers, but that stuff is very toxic,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of a very hazardous job. And so we have to be thinking about that as well. So there's certainly a lot of danger to the environment and to our health when we're talking about how to dispose of trash properly. Well, everybody, we have to go now. We are out of time, but we have much more to talk about tomorrow as we continue with this lesson, Global Trash Problem. We hope that you join us tomorrow, and until then, have a great day.